Hey girl, hey, welcome to Taste of Taylor, my weekly podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Strecker of the live daily talk radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show. So here's the deal. On my radio show, we're like married up in there, okay? Yeah, like till death do us part or until you want a divorce, totally up to you. But this podcast is where we date. Yes, you date me, you like, you get to know me, you try me on, you feel me out. And this is where I get to woo celebs, tastemakers, and influencers into falling in love with me. Anyone who knows me knows I'm like a professional social climber. And yeah, I wear that title like a badge of honor. But for reals, my favorite part of being in the radio industry for 12 plus years is getting to meet interesting, inspiring, and exceptional people and getting them to talk about the pettiest things in the world. So if you love real talk with a touch of cattiness and a ton of laughers, then you're in the right place. I hope you enjoy this little snack. Hey girl, hey, welcome back to another episode of my weekly podcast, Taste of Taylor, where I interview celebrities, Bravo celebrities, tastemakers and influencers. And right now I have on a tastemaker influencer about to be a huge celebrity. She's just laughing. Ellie Lee, what up, my girl?
Hi, Taylor.
Hey, boo-boo. Oh my God, I love you so much. I miss you so much. I haven't seen you in a million years.
Yes.
What's been going on, sister friend? You've been out in LA so much, doing your thing on E.
Oh my God. Listen.
Oh my God.
I can't, the LA, the flight kicks my ass every time.
I'm with you.
Every time I think that I'm prepared for it, I'm like, prepared for it. I'm like, nope, can't do. I get off gassy. I'm fat. I haven't gone to the bathroom in a while. Like, it's just a mess. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was on a plane and this girl goes, oh my God, to me, right? I'm like, oh my God, what's going on, right? And she goes, are you Ellie? And it was like this Asian girl, right?
No.
And I was like, oh my God, yeah, right? She goes, oh my God, I've been following you since back in the day. Like, she used to be an old school like YouTube follower of mine.
Stop.
And like when I started like in college and stuff. Literally, I looked terrible because I was on a plane. Do you know what I'm saying? Yes. It's just never good. Anyways, yes, I've been in and out of LA a lot.
Girl, shit's been blowing up.
Stop saying blowing.
I know.
We just talked about that.
We're literally the both two most superstitious human beings on the face of the planet, which I believe like everybody in this industry is. I mean, I remember like doing like theater when I was little and playing these games to myself. That sounds like I was masturbating, but I was not. But I would like audition for Annie, and then I would throw away paper, and I was like, if I make this basket, I will get Annie. And then I missed and be like, rah! And then it took like 15,000 years to find out if you get the fucking part or not.
Yes.
Anyway, the struggle is real, and that is what we are talking about in this podcast today. So I like to sit down with people who are like my peers, who I admire, my coworkers, whatever you want to call everybody in this industry, and like get their story, because this industry is freaking brutal.
Yes.
And the journey is no joke. And so, and also it's like, I know that you don't feel like you're there. Yeah. I don't feel like I'm there. Everybody, that's I think the beauty also of this podcast is everyone I talk to in my eyes is there, but they don't feel there. Imposter syndrome is real and alive. I believe it's very prevalent in the entertainment industry, but also in other businesses too. Anybody like that's a CEO, I mean, imposter syndrome is a real thing. And basically, for those of you who don't know, imposter syndrome is when you feel like you don't deserve the position you're in, and you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop and for everybody to go like, Taylor is doing what? She's so stupid and bad. She's not going to get to do that. And then it's going to get taken away from you. And it's so scary. That's imposter syndrome.
Where is this person from?
This person is me. I'm talking to you right now.
Okay.
Anyway, so before we get into all the fabulosity that you're doing right now, Miss Ellie, let's talk about, well, first of all, let's talk about how you and I met.
Yeah.
And then I want to go way back to the very beginning of like how you got into this biz, or like when you really started to like get into it. Because I didn't even know you had a YouTube page, girl.
I grew up very Korean, conservative, Christian household. I grew up in Northern New Jersey, just right across the George Washington Bridge.
Right across.
Let me tell you something. We're not looking at mountains and nature out there. We're just looking at like buildings and cars. It's not the prettiest place. But anyways, so I grew up there. You know, I'm the oldest of three kids, and I think
oh my god, there's something with the oldest of three kids going on.
What is it?
I'm the oldest of three. I think oldest and onlys are getting like they love this industry.
Because
attention. We want attention.
Do you think because we got all the heat? Did you get all the heat?
Girl, you know I did. Wild for a reason.
Yeah, me too, me too. I got so
much
heat.
Such strict parents.
Oh, my God.
Wait, so you're the oldest of three. And
yeah.
What are your siblings? Boys, girls?
A boy and then a girl.
Damn, girl.
You know?
So that boy got away with murder, right?
Of course.
And then the girl was the baby.
She's the baby.
And they're tired from the boy.
Exactly.
And you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yo, I put my parents, like, to them, I put them through the ringer when, like, actually I was, like, very good.
So let's talk about what the ringer was to your parents.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay, I'm going to tell this story, okay? But, you know, when you're 13 years old and you're in high school, right? You're not thinking to yourself, like, you're going to, like, be hooking up with everybody. Like, you're hooking up with dudes or whatever. Right. And I got, like, a hickey, like, my first hickey, like, whatever that.
I would have been in so much trouble over a hickey. Are you kidding me?
Dude.
The summer of turtlenecks. I had one of those.
Yes.
I got one hickey from some stupid boy at a concert. I did not ask for the hickey.
Exactly.
And I was in hell for like the rest of the summer.
Yeah. So my dumbass was going home and I was like, I'm going to put a Band-Aid on it because my parents would never know what this is on my neck, right? Little did I understand that my parents were way more woke than I thought that they were. Literally, my dad comes up and he goes, like, what's that on your neck, right? And he takes off the Band-Aid. He goes, when did you get a hickey? And I was like, literally, I felt everything crashing down in front of me. Everything crashing down in front of me. And I got in so much trouble. I literally was not allowed out for like a year.
Oh, my, I believe it. Okay, we had the same upbringing. We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
First things first, though. Yeah. So Ellie's been in the industry for a minute. I definitely know you've been in the industry for at least 5 years because that is how you and I met. Mm-hmm. So you might know Ellie from VH1.
Mm-hmm.
You might recently know Ellie from E.
Yeah.
And then I didn't realize that you like had a YouTube page and stuff. So what was your very first job in the biz?
Yeah. Basically, when I was little, I would watch movies and I'd be like, oh my God, that's what I want to do. I want to act, right? I was like so insanely in love with film and TV, right?
What was your favorite movie?
I just remember being like captivated by like everything, like Goonies, and like captivated by just like all, you know, what do we grow up? What did we grow up with in the 90s?
I mean, so you're 90s. I was like, I'm an elder millennial. So I was like Annie. My mom said I would like walk out of the room and then walk back in when Annie would re-enter the scene.
Yes.
I was like, had it down pat.
Yes. Yes. But I just remember watching all these movies in the theaters and just being so enamored by it. But I realizing that I was just like a little Korean girl from New Jersey, that this was never going to happen. So I literally buried that dream.
So that really is a thing. Like, if you can see it, you can be it. So if you're not seeing it, you can't be it.
Yeah. And when I would see an Asian person, I'd be like, what's going on?
Like in a movie?
Yeah, in a movie. Or like,
TV show?
Or a TV show. Like, dude, this TV show never gets love, but on Nickelodeon growing up, there was a show called Shelby, Mysteries of Shelby Wu, and it was like this Chinese girl who had immigrant parents and grandparents.
I kind of remember it.
And she would like solve crime, and I remember watching her be like, oh my God, she's Asian. And it just being so like weird, like just like having this moment being like, that's me. Like, it was, and you really never saw it. So when you saw it, it was almost like a shocking experience.
Yes.
You know? And so I grew up in the TRL stage, like Total Request Live.
Ugh.
I was obsessed with NSYNC, Spice Girls, like Stand Till the Death of Me, Bury Me, yo, NSYNC, Spice Girls to the end. Okay. I fell in love with pop music. I was so enamored just by like Carson Daly and like how he used to interview these people. And I was like, that's what I want to do. I was like, that's what I effing want to do.
So you knew hosting was what you wanted to
do.
Even though you didn't even know it was hosting.
Yes. I was like, in that time it was called VJing, video disc jockey.
Remember when they got that like wackadoo named Jesse with the crazy hair?
Yes.
Very androgynous, so I will give him credit for that.
He got mad love.
What was his sexuality and what was his gender? I don't know.
Exactly.
He was gender fluid before it was even a thing, girl.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Very woke.
Yeah, he was. And so was MTV, I guess, at the times.
Yeah, exactly.
Him with that crazy scarf.
And he had the scar.
He looks like a character on The L Word, and I am dead ass.
You know, so I would watch that, and I'd be like, okay, that's what I want to do, right?
Yep.
And one time...
you're in what, in high school?
This is in high school, like, you know, this is like 6th, 7th grade, you know? No, 5th, 6th, 7th, damn, y'all, so old, I don't even know anymore. 5th, 6th, 7th grade, right? Just being, like, so in love, okay? And then...
And you're a hop, skip, and a jump away.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just a hop, skip, and jump, and a jump away, you know?
Yeah.
But I was like, how am I going to get there? I have no idea, right?
Right.
So, like, I always.
So you go to your mom and dad.
Oh, no. They had no idea.
Totally kidding. What did your mom and dad want you to be?
They knew that I wasn't smart from the get-go, so they never pressured me to be anything. I think my dad was just like very grateful that I did go to college and like did like end so up graduating.
Like, they were like, just graduate from high school and please go to college. They're and like, graduate from college.
I think he was freaking out that I wasn't going to get accepted anywhere. I'm like, Dad, I have like, I don't have terrible grades, you know?
Where'd you go to college?
I went to college at UMass Amherst for 2 years and then Fordham University.
These are great schools.
Yes, they are great schools.
See, same parents. My parents, it was like Harvard or bust. BC or bust.
See,
my sister went to BC. My brother went to Harvard. I went to not one of those colleges. I went to Ithaca, which is a great school.
Yeah, it's a great school.
But in my parents' eyes, not. My dad went to Harvard. My mom went to BC.
Yeah.
It's just like in Boston, oh, such educational snobs.
Mm.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm so it's all tracking, same life, same
yes.
upbringing,
yes.
no hickeys, get into like go to a perfect school.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then, but what do they want you to be?
So when I went to college, I was like, I knew I wanted to, I was like, I didn't tell them, but I was like, I'm going to do something on television. I was like, I'm going to be a host, right? So like literally
so
started.
Where weren't they like who?
No, they just were like, oh, okay, Ellie, you know, like.
Here goes Ellie again.
There goes Ellie. There goes Ellie, you know, blabbing about.
Oh, that Ellie.
Yeah, exactly. And then so I was interning for this place and this guy that owned this company called Anime News Network, which is all about anime. It was like the number one anime site in the world.
Okay, I just have to say that's pretty stereotypically Asian for you to be into anime, right?
No, right. But they were looking for a news host. I didn't know anything about anime, but I was like, I'm just going to audition for
that's
him.
That's what I wanted you to say because I knew that you didn't know anything about anime.
I had no idea.
You had no idea.
So I auditioned and I'm getting it. And literally I was like, oh my God.
Are you in college at this point?
I'm in college.
Shut up.
It was like really interesting meeting all these people and da da da. And like after that was over, right? And I left college. Like I graduated when the market crashed. So there were no jobs. It was like literally devastating. Everyone graduated and like nobody had a job. Like people that were like killing it at life like didn't have a job.
Exactly. And people that were supposed to be like
exactly
rocket scientists
yes.
and doctors
yes.
and lawyers.
Yes.
Nothing.
Yes. And then I'm sitting out here. I'm like, well, if they're suffering, I mean, I'm drowning. I'm already dead, you know?
Right.
So I just like, you know, I was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And so I ended up getting a 9-to-5 marketing job, right?
Okay.
And at a small marketing firm. And one of our clients was Warner Brothers. And I got sent out to LA and I started interviewing just like celebrities like in these movie junkets.
For marketing.
Yeah. Job. So I would give these interviews and they would use it as like generals for like press media.
Girl,
right.
This is so crazy.
So I started doing that stuff and I got closer to like, you know, the actors and all this
hey
stuff.
Guys, it's time to take a quick break to talk about one of our sponsors, Scentbird. Ooh, I love Scentbird. So if you don't know, let me tell you. Scentbird is a luxury fragrance subscription service for perfumes and colognes. Yeah, it sounds like a dream because it is. So I got to tell you, I love Scentbird because I now have a way to have a routine without breaking the bank. And oh boy, do they have amazing brands. I'll get to that in a second. But first things first, I kind of stopped wearing perfume for a while because I really don't like the entire experience of having to go to the department store, getting chased around by salespeople, being pressured to buy these super expensive bottles. And also like when you're smelling a million things, I mean, I get like a headache. I can't differentiate what smell I like and what smell I don't like. And then if you buy like a super expensive bottle, at least for me, I feel like I'm stuck with it and I have to keep it until I'm done with it. So that's kind of why I stopped with the whole perfume game until Scentbird, because now Scentbird lets me mix up my fragrance routine without having to break the bank and also without having to leave my house. Also, I've got expensive taste, girl. And this is another reason why I stopped buying perfume because I'm like, I really want to try the most expensive one, but it's just too much. Well, with Scentbird, you get to try all those designers you've been dying to try. And they have more than 450 designer brands for you to choose from, perfume or cologne, for each month. I'm talking Prada, Tom Ford, Versace, Dolce & Gabbana, Cartier, Gucci. It just goes on and on and on. So all you have to do is just go on, pick the brand you want to try for that month, and they'll send you a 30-day supply. So it's basically like 120 sprays. Honestly, it's enough to apply more than 4 times a day for a month, which is, that's obscene. You don't need to apply that much. But if you want to, you can. And if you're somebody who doesn't know exactly what they want to go for, you actually can sort and find a new fragrance by brand, by style, by occasion, season. And if you're not really sure about the brands, I mean, I'm a brand girl, so I'm like, if it's Tom Ford, girl, it's gonna be good. But you might not know the brands. So Scentbird is great because you can also sort by style. Like, I want nighttime, I want sexy, occasion, season, and so much more. All you have to do is just take Scentbird's True Scent Quiz and you discover more for personalized recommendations for your taste. And the bonus is that they actually come like in travel friendly sizes, which is fantastic. So, because if you're traveling as much as I am, you need to be able to bring your fragrance with you on the go. And they even come in like these like protective little cases, so you don't have to worry about spillage all over your luggage. And because I love Scentbird so much, and obs, they love me back, they gave me an exclusive offer just for my listeners. You can get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance. That's like madness. It's amazing. So go to scentbird.com/TAYLOR and use my code TAYLOR, that's Taylor, for 50% off your first month. Again, that's scentbird.com/Taylor for you to try your first perfume or cologne for just $7.50. Sign on and smell amazing. And now back to the podcast. See, this is a little secret that no one knows, is you can kind of like backdoor it into the industry.
Yeah. I mean,
because I worked in advertising before I got my job at Sirius. My stuff moved really quickly because I was very lucky, good timing. But I actually was doing, so I was in production for advertising. I was not talent, but one night, late night, they needed somebody to record a manifesto, which is basically, it's just in-house for Gerber. Like, do I have a Gerber voice? No. What's Gerber for, like, sexy toddlers? I mean, this voice for babies? Anyway, they put me in the studio, and they were just like, just do this voiceover. And that is how I got, like, in. They were like, you're really good at voiceover work. You should really consider doing more and more voiceover.
It's insane.
And so that's how I even thought, like, and then when the radio thing came out, I was like, well, everyone said I was good at voiceover, so I guess I'll be good at radio. It's like these small little things that you do that, you know, you're not even mean to do them.
Yeah.
And they're getting you, like, they're giving you the experience that you so desperately wanted to get into the industry from like a back route.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So
you're doing all these like interviews for marketing.
Yeah, and then I realized
the video,
right? But
which
I
means they like it. Is that
sure?
But you're still in marketing.
Yeah, but I was doing a 9-to-5, and I hated my life. I was like, this is not it. And at that time, I fell in love with acting. I finally realized, no, maybe I can act. So I literally just started taking classes. I started going to all this stuff on my own. I would go to readings. I would go to just like plays. I would just do all. I would usher at plays. Just to watch the plays for free.
Oh, girl, you are paying your dues.
Yeah, because I fell in love with it, and I wanted to see what people who did it were like, you know. And so during that time, I booked this like small play, and I was like, "This is the dream." And literally, they weren't paying anything, you know. But I was like, "This is the dream." So I went to my boss, and I was literally like, "I'm leaving because I'm gonna go pursue, you know, acting and hosting." And literally, he said to me. Literally, he said to me that you're going to have to fuck your way to the top. Like, literally, he said, you're going to have to sleep your way to the top. I'm going to be honest with you. He's like, I know the industry. And I wasn't fazed by it because I was like, obviously, I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying?
You should say, obviously, that's my plan.
No, girl. I grew up.
Yeah, right, with your parents with the hickeys?
Exactly. Listen. I grew up with Jesus. That was the only thing I knew in my life for a long time, okay? So, like, I was just like, being slutty or not, that was never in my nature.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to be slutty either. That's why I'm a lesbian. See, mom and dad, look. See?
I love that. So what was I saying?
You were just saying that your boss said you had to F your way to the top, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But I think throughout, if you want to pursue this industry, I think you will also get a lot of people saying crazy shit to you like that. Whether it's a boss at the time, a boss asking you something crazy, you want to have sex with them, or even like I had an uncle who was a casting director, okay? Yeah. He created LA Casting, which like revolutionized the industry. He had nothing to do with me getting a job at Sirius, although everybody in my town likes to be like, oh, it's her uncle that got her job. No, girl, he did not. But I remember he said to me, if anything, he deterred me from being in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you don't want that life. I mean, it's so tough. It's so shady. It's so sketchy. He was like, be on the business side, be in entertainment, be on the business side. And that's what I pursued through college. And I got lucky getting my job at Sirius that got me back into the entertainment industry. But I would have been so sad if I hadn't given this side of the business a shot. I would have been so empty because it's like my calling.
Exactly.
As it is yours. But you will, if you want to do this job or be in this industry, you will hear people tell you no so many times. Rejection is the number one part of this job.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yes, yes.
And that even starts when like, you're like, oh, I want to get into this. Everybody will try to shit all over your dreams.
Yeah, exactly.
Friends, parents, bosses, everybody.
Yeah. But a part of me knew that like he was trying to like look out for me in his own way, I guess, like protecting me from like the craziness that was this industry in his own weird way. But anyways, I quit my job that day and I literally was like, what am I going to do? And I was like, I need to make money.
Right.
I knew I could never be a waitress. Listen, I'm clumsy as hell, yo. I can't understand things in the restaurant. Like I would just be insane, you know? So I was like, what do I love? I was like, oh, I love dogs. And that's when I was like, I'm going to become a dog walker.
I didn't realize all this stuff. Okay, this is fascinating.
So I literally would spend this was my life. Okay, first of all, I walked this beautiful dog in this like in the Upper West Side.
You only had one?
Huh?
You only had
no,
one?
No. This was my first dog. This was my first dog. My private dog. They pay me so much money to take this dog around Central Park.
I love rich people in New York City.
Yeah, and it was amazing. And it was just like so
you
awesome.
You were like a dog nanny.
Exactly. And then I started walking all these other dogs. I would be in the East Side, I'd be in the West Village. But
wait, were you one of those people with like 15 dogs at once?
No.
Those people are mad talented.
Dude, they're very talented.
They're
also,
like Caesar.
Yeah, exactly.
What's his name?
Oh, Caesar.
The dog whisperer.
Caesar.
I feel he goes by Caesar.
Yes, I like that better, actually. I like that better. So I just became a dog walker, but I was like auditioning. I was like doing things. I was like trying to seek management and agents and all this stuff. And then I met
And were you like excited or were you like freaking out?
I was freaking out.
Of course. And how long are you now from like the time that you quit that marketing job? Yeah. How long now are you like in this industry, if you will?
Okay, so now I've entered it, so we're talking...
Well, no, at this you're dog walking and freaking out.
Oh, like a year and a half.
And are you saying to yourself, I'm going to give myself a cutoff of 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, or no?
When I was reaching the two-year mark of just, like, grinding, like, whatever, I was like, I can't do this. This is, like, too emotionally straining for me.
Yeah.
But because at the time, so I got a gig. One of my first gigs was MTV Korea. They were downtown,
uh-huh.
And they called me up. They're like, hey, we've seen a lot of your K-pop videos on YouTube.
You've been doing K-pop?
Oh, yeah, Sess.
All this time?
Yeah, so
because you were like the K... So for those of you who don't know, Ellie's like the K-pop queen at iHeart.
Yes.
Am I saying it right? K-pop right?
Yeah, K-pop, Korean pop culture.
Okay,
yeah, K-pop.
But K-pop is now like
taking over the world.
Literally, but but how many years have you been in K-pop, if you will? 6 years, 7 years?
Oh no. I've been in K-pop since 2008.
Oh, so you earned... this is over a decade, girl.
So I fell in love with K-pop 2008. I became like a writer online, and that's how I started getting notoriety because I had like my own voice with like, you know, some of the writings that I had and like articles that I wrote and stuff like that. And so I started doing like K-pop in like celebrity interviews when they would come to America.
Uh-huh.
I would, you know...
But at this point, it was few and far between, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. They were never coming
obscure.
Around here. Yeah.
So you weren't like, I'm going to get into K-pop because it's going to blow the fuck up. You were just like, I love it.
I just knew how powerful it was. Also, I loved it, you know? And so that's how I got into it. And so people knew me from that. So MTV Korea hit me up. They're like, hey, we have the show. It's Top 10 Countdown. It's like it's going to be with like fans and
you're
blah, blah, blah. And
so K-pop Carson Daly. Oh my God. Your dreams are coming true. And did it feel like that or did it not feel like that?
No, I was just like, okay, cool. Like, what? I was like, all right, let's do this, you know? And so then that's how I started getting into that. So I did that for like, 7-8 months or whatever. And then after that, I was like, okay, what am I going to do next? And I met
did
this.
Did it end? Or were
the show ended. The show ended.
Oh,
and,
the
and
other bad part of this industry.
Yeah, everything.
Things inevitably end.
I would say 9 out of 10 things end. No, I would say 10 out of 10 things end.
I mean, look at fucking Game of Thrones. It just ended, but it's Game of Thrones. And it ended after 6, 7,
but
or 8 seasons.
But it didn't get canceled.
Yeah, I know. But it will inevitably end.
Yes, everything ends.
Look at, what's her name? Dreyfus, Veep, what's her name?
Julia Louise Dreyfus.
Yes, I mean, she was so big on Seinfeld. It ended. She still wasn't done. She wanted more. She probably had a fucking freak out moment too, even though she had so much money, dollar bills in the bank. It's like, shut up about that.
Yeah.
Like, I have very little sympathy if you don't have to work.
Yes.
But a lot of people in this business, even if they're like big actors, they like, Tori Spelling, man, she's like bankrupt all the time.
Well, Tori Spelling also has a lot of children.
That's a really good lesson to learn.
Oh, my God.
Is to not do that.
Don't do that.
She's got like 6.
Dude, I'm like, dude.
Okay, so it ends.
Yes. So it ends and I'm like frolicking. I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm still auditioning. And then I meet this woman. She's like a freelance manager. And she was like, dude, like, I auditioned for her. And she was like, I really love you. Let's get together. Like, I'm gonna fight for you. I'm like, all right. So she started putting me out for like acting stuff, so I would go out for auditions. And then while that was going, I was like, oh, by the way, I'm a host too. Like, can you put me out for host stuff? She's like, you're a host? I'm like, yeah, I've done some stuff. And I sent her my reel, and she was like, you've been hiding this from me? I'm like, oh, like, I just was focusing on acting.
It's so,
you know,
funny, because I feel like there are so many different jobs in this industry. Like, you know, there's audio, there's video. That alone, it's like two separate worlds. But like, even within those worlds, it's like there's so much different stuff, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing. But it's so fascinating because like hosting is a very specific thing. Not everybody can host, and you're a fucking great host.
Oh, thanks, Taylor.
You are
too.
Thank you. I received that. I would say, takes one to know one, bitch. But really, like, a lot of actors can't host.
Yeah.
A lot of people, like, you would be shocked. I mean, a lot of actors can't do a lot of stuff. They can barely even talk in interviews. Because they're just acting all the time.
Is there somebody that you would like to
Very
mention?
Specific people I'm thinking of right now. Yeah, but I will say, it shall remain nameless. I'm trying to do this thing where, like, I'm unburning bridges now.
Okay,
boring.
Got
when you don't have a bomb-ass show with Sirius,
yeah.
you can't just talk shit about the world. You have to, like, actually climb your way back up the top.
Yes.
To then talk shit about everybody. Again.
Yes.
Once I'm talking shit again, you guys know I'm good. So she's like, shit, you host.
Yeah, and then so she started sending me out for hosting auditions, and then this VH1 pop culture correspondent gig came along, and it was this audition, and she was like, go out for this, right? And I was like, okay. And there she was like, it's going to be like a lengthy, but they're going to ask you a lot of stuff. I was like, okay.
Uh-huh.
So I went in there, and I literally remember walking into the room, and there was like this pretty like white girl that was walking into the audition. There was like a super cute like Latina girl sitting right, and I looked at her, and she was like oh my gosh, she's like, I should have done my hair more curly, right? And I was like, oh my god, she's so pretty, she's so cute. And I was like, I'm never gonna get this gig. I was like, I should just leave. And I literally text my brother. I was like, I don't know why I'm here. I was like, I should just go, right? And he calls me Nuna, which is like older sister in Korean. He goes, Nuna. He goes, you are there for a reason. He's like, just remember what you do and just bring all that. And I was like, yeah, you're right. So she went into the audition, right? And I'm waiting, and we walk in, and it's like this huge room. It's a green room. There's like a camera guy, that, you know, a producer, like all this stuff. And they literally had me do everything. They're like this, okay, so first we're just going to do a prompter read. We're just going to give you a script, and we're going to see how you read it, right? I'm like, okay. So they do a prompter read. They're like, okay. So then they're like, now we're going to show you a series of photos of celebrities wearing Halloween costumes, and we want you to riff on it. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, first of all, like, you know, I wasn't like a bada bing. I'm not like a comedian, like bada bing, bada boom. You know what I'm saying?
You're not in the Italian mafia? Hey guys, it's time to take a quick break to talk about one of our sponsors. I love this sponsor. It's my baby boo thing. You know what it is. It's Away Luggage. I'm such like a nerd about it because I really love it so much. So I've known Away for a while now. I feel like I actually met the owners of Away when they first came out with the bag. And not that this is the reason why they're a sponsor. That's absolutely not the reason. But I just feel like so cool that I got to interview one of the founders. Speaking of which, Away was actually, so in case you didn't know, Away is the best luggage around, in my opinion. And it was founded by two friends from New York City who found themselves actually stuck and delayed, OBS, it's New York City, at JFK with dead phones. And they were like, oh, why can't we have luggage with power? Bada bing, bada boom, the Away carry-on was born. So Away Luggage, it's fantastic. Like I said, they have a carry-on that can actually charge your tablet, your phone, e-reader, anything with a USB cord. It can charge away. And trust me, it has saved my life many a time at an airport with delays. My stinking tablet is always dying because it's like 1,000 years old. So I have to always keep it plugged in. And with Away, I can do that, especially on the train home to Boston. Girl, I just keep my luggage right next to me or like in the seat, like beside me. And I just plug my tablet into my luggage. It's genius. But aside from that feature, which is a major feature, the luggage itself is just so great. It's super high quality. It's great, great, durable, yet lightweight material. You're probably like, girl, well, how much is it then? I'm telling you, it's much lower than other brands, and it's much lower than you would think. And you're like, how do they do it then? I'll tell you how. They cut out the middleman, and they sell directly to you. That's how they do it. So they've got four sizes, the carry-on, the bigger carry-on, the medium, or the large for extended stays. I am not a bag checker. So I have the carry-on and the bigger carry-on, both of them approved to fly in overhead, and they're great. I love them both. Obviously, the bigger carry-on holds more. The smaller one holds a lot as well, and I have it in pine green and navy blue, and I get compliments all the time, and I love it. Also, okay, this is where I really, really, really start to nerd out. They've got these amazing wheels. I'm serious. They're 360-degree spinner wheels, and it makes pushing the luggage so effortless. And I never even really realized, like, I used to have expensive luggage because I used to be married, I was a rich person, we had like all the luxury luggage, and that stuff is hard to drag behind you. It's heavy, it's bulky, and also I'm a subway rider, and so I have to go through turnstiles a lot, and that's something you have to encounter when you're traveling. And before with luggage, oh my god, trying to get that through was like a nightmare. And now I slide it right under the turnstile and easy peasy, pick it up, go down the stairs. It's like it it literally has changed the traveling game for me. Also, it has a lifetime warranty. So if anything breaks, they will fix or replace it for life. Hello. And they give you a 100-day trial. So you can live with it. You can vibe with it, travel with it. And if at any point you decide, meh, it's not for you, you can return it for a full refund. No questions asked. You know what that means? It means they believe in their product, and they should, because it's amazing. And as if it wasn't good enough, free shipping on any away order within the lower 48 states. You guys, what are you waiting for? And also extra bonus, as if that wasn't enough. And for my listeners, Away is going to hook you up with $20 off a suitcase when you visit awaytravel.com/TAYLOR20 and use that promo code TAYLOR20 during checkout. Again, $20 off a suitcase when you visit awaytravel.com/TAYLOR20 and make sure to use my promo code TAYLOR20 during checkout. I tell you right now, you're going to be thanking me. And now back to the podcast.
So they had like Paris Hilton like dressed up as a nun like come up, right? Now, so I would say something like, oh, well, that's ironic. You know, something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So then they were like, okay, so now we're going to do a music video read, right? And like music video reads were like these things where you would introduce the video. You know what I'm saying? And
Carson Daly.
Exactly. So you would do that and you would like say facts about the music video, blah, blah, blah. And then you would shoot to the video. So we do things like that. And they're like, okay, now you're on a red carpet. And they're like, Claire Danes is walking down towards you. What are you going to ask her?
Oh my God. What's it like to kiss Jordan Catalano?
That's your question for Claire
Danes. That's my question.
And like they wanted to know, like, does she know her stuff kind of stuff?
Exactly.
You know? But that was like literally, I felt so good about it. It was like literally 40 minutes. It was the longest audition I've ever done.
That's long.
And I walked out, I was like, damn, I feel so good about that. And I walked out and I didn't hear from them for like a month. And then I'm like, my manager goes, okay, they want to do, they were like, oh, they want to do like a second round.
You're so, like, bitch, I've been here for a month. It's called ghosting somebody.
Yes, exactly. So then like in the second month, whatever, I go in and like, you know, I meet people and like I speak with people, like I have meetings or whatever. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, they want to get a feel for me. And then literally another month goes by and literally almost like 4 months. I think it was three, four months. Finally, I'm like crying because at this point I'm like, they have like literally I'm like hanging onto a thread because this job essentially could change my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like an everyday thing. So they asked me to come in one more time and they were like, we want you to meet the executives of the morning show, Big Morning Buzz Live. That's on VH1
with
Nick Lachey.
Nick Lachey.
Yes.
Yep.
Of 98 Degrees.
Yes, you know
if
it,
you
honey.
If you don't know 98 Degrees, you need to go and listen to that.
Edumacate yourself.
No. Watch the music videos.
Also, The Hardest Thing is one of my favorite songs.
It's one of the best songs ever.
Ever.
It's the hardest thing I'd ever have to. Come on, who was your favorite though, low key though?
Oh, of all the boy bands?
Yeah. No. Of 90 Degrees.
Don Nick Lachey.
Oh, you loved him.
Are you crazy?
Yeah.
I don't even know the other ones. Drew.
I loved Jeff.
I totally forgot his name.
That's mean, Taylor.
Why? I don't remember his name. He didn't stand out to me.
Damn.
It's all about Nick Lachey.
Okay, shout out to Nick
and
Lachey.
And then I was such a fan of him and Jessica Simpson's reality show, which ruined their marriage, but I don't even care because it was so good.
Listen, we don't talk about that.
Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. Okay? I became a fan. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I was like, I forgot. You're like legit friends with him. I apologize. Okay. So.
Okay. So then I go and meet the executives, you know.
Is Nick one of them?
No. It was like, these are like the top bosses over here.
But Nick had already been cast. Yes.
Nick had already been cast.
Okay.
So they were looking for, I guess, a correspondent position. And like, they were going to pick whoever.
Hence the red carpet. Hence Claire Danes.
No. They were that's for the VH1 pop culture correspondent for news. VH1 news. Sorry. I didn't clarify.
Sorry.
For news. But they wanted to use potentially that girl for this correspondent position, you know what I'm saying? So then when they met me, I was just like myself, you know?
Which is the best.
Yeah, I was just like, it's been a long time.
You
like,
just gotta do you. You can't try to be something you're not because authenticity, especially right now, is all anybody wants.
Yes.
If you can just be you through and through, it's the best thing.
Yes.
Best piece of
if
advice.
It is the truth. Okay. Do you know what I'm saying?
If that is not the truth, that is the truth.
That
okay?
is the truth.
That's
okay?
your takeaway from the show.
Exactly. Put that in quotes. Okay.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Exactly. So I left that meeting and then 5 days went by and my manager calls me and she's like, hey, and I'm like,
I like know the end result and I'm still barfing.
Yeah.
Continue.
I'm like literally tears in my eyes and she goes, hey, like, sorry. Right. And I was like, what? She's like, they're passing on you.
Oh, God,
and I literally
no.
felt my walls tremble and I start crying. And she's like, just kidding. You got the job. I'm like, why would you do that?
She's a sociopath. You still work with her?
Why would you do that? And so I got the gig and literally it was like life changing. I literally went to go. I was picking dog poop up. I was walking dogs to being on live television. People cared
with
about
Nick
me.
Lachey.
With Nick Lachey. I was sitting. I was getting my makeup and hair done. Yeah, I was doing.
Every single day?
Every single day.
Okay, wait a second. So that Latina girl with the curly hair that was in the audition, was that my friend Nicole from the Morning Mashup on Sirius XM? Because that's what I was going to say.
Oh,
not
no,
Latina.
No, no.
She's Jewish. Everyone thinks she's Latin. That's
No.
But you were so you were on it. There was also, who else was on that show?
Michelle Buteau.
Amazing.
She's a comedian actress.
Jackie.
Super funny. Jackie Moran.
Yes.
She's an on-camera fashion stylist.
And Nicole Ryan.
Nicole Ryan.
My best friend from college.
She used to do it. Yes. She used to come in and be the third chair of the top of the morning with Nick.
So cool.
Yeah, and we got to experience that. And then when everything got taken away from me.
And so how long was that on for?
How long was that on for?
Yeah.
That we were on for a solid year.
Okay, so you...
No, we had a year and a half, maybe?
So you're doing that, and then it ends. And then probably a couple years later, maybe a year later.
Yeah.
You and I end up at a panel.
Yeah.
In a clothing store.
Yeah.
With 8.5 human beings.
Yes.
There.
Yep.
And it's through my friend Nicole and your coworker Nicole.
Yeah.
And with that, so that's how I met Ellie. And so I was sitting there as at the time, like probably deep into a decade, maybe more, of being a radio show host at Sirius XM Radio.
Yes.
And you were somebody who was hosting on television. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at Ellie being like, oh my gosh, she's so cool. She's on TV. And then you were looking at me being like, holy shit. Stability is sexy. This bitch has been doing this shit for 10 years. And then Nicole was sitting there as the moderator, but living the best of both worlds, you know? Mm-hmm. And so after we were done, you and I I liked you on the panel.
Yeah.
And you were so real.
Yes, you were so real.
We were both like, our jobs suck. It's hard. I want your job. No, I want your job. And Nicole was like, sitting there and be like, I have both of their jobs. And I was like, I'll punch you in your vagina, bitch. I love her. We're good now. We weren't the best at those times, but that's okay. Anyway, you know what? Friendship also in this industry, hard.
Yes, very hard.
You know, because we got into the industry together. Mm-hmm, I mean, that's how, she's the reason I'm in this industry.
Yes.
So thank you, Coley Biggins.
Aww.
I love her. And her husband's on my radio show sometimes, and he's a maniac.
But I hear
in
that.
The best way possible.
Yes.
Don't tell him I said this, anybody, but he's kind of like very Howard Stern reminiscent. He is.
Wow.
He's that crazy. Like,
wow.
He's like, he, not Howard Stern, the host, but the Howard Stern show vibes. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Like, he says crazy shit.
Wow.
And he's just wildly inappropriate yet entertaining. You can't help but love him even though you want to stab him in the dick.
Wow. Yep. Listen,
Nicole would agree to that assessment.
I love watching Nicole's Instagram stories with the kids and Matt.
It's so good.
So cute.
So that's how we ultimately met. And we just did this thing. And then we probably would have never spoken ever again, except you went to the Subway. Myself and at the time, my like new girlfriend went to the Subway.
Mm-hmm.
And you spotted us like holding hands. And you were like, ow, I see you. And then you were like, oh my God, I don't normally like people, but... I like your vibe. I liked you on that panel. I liked you have a girlfriend. I like what's going on here. Let's be friends. And
yes.
That's literally how we became friends.
Yes.
And then weird story, your now boyfriend.
Yes.
Was somebody my girlfriend knew very well.
Yes.
Just whatever.
Yeah,
basically,
it's just a small world.
So small.
It's just crazy.
And the entertainment industry is also super small.
Super small.
So we became like buds and we would just like check in a couple times a year.
Yeah.
And then you've been like a guest a bunch of times, co-hosted with me on my radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show. And now here you are on my podcast.
Yes.
And I'm going to be on your podcast. Look at this.
Yes.
We're doing everything. All the things. All the things.
All the things.
And now you're moving to LA on my ass.
Yes, I'm moving to LA. And
first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'm so not surprised. So Ellie also, I mean, so like following you on Instagram gives me life. You know how much I love your Instagram.
I know. You always make a nice comment.
On Tuesdays, when I look, I make a nice comment. I'm so bad at Instagram because Instagram kind of depresses me. So I don't go on it a lot.
It is depressing.
But I have to go on it for work. And so when I'm on it, I try to like make sure to hit up my friends and people that I love so I can like give them a little bit of love because, you know, you got to reciprocate in this
world.
And support your friends.
Absolutely.
But you do this thing on Tuesday. Everyone needs to check it out at ellielee.tv.
Yes.
Okay. And what do you do on Tuesdays? What's it called?
Okay. I'm not doing them every Tuesday. I'm just like, girl, when I feel inspired, I do it.
Okay, fine. Okay, fine.
Because I don't want to fake it. You know what I mean? You know what
I'm saying? You're authentic through and through.
Exactly. So it's just like things that I learned, because I think that for me, I'm a very like emotional person. I feel a lot of things. I like, you know, I've dealt with depression for a really long time and anxiety in my life. And so learning how to juggle all that in this crazy, you know, thing that I'm trying to achieve in my career is just a lot, you know? And I think that when I fall into it, it's hard. And so I just think that it's time to go. And
I know what I was saying. I was saying you do the inspirational things on Tuesdays.
Yeah. So, you know, inspirational things on Tuesdays. And it's just a way for me to be like, listen, guys, this is very real for me. And I feel like if I don't talk about it with you, I am like I don't know what to do, because
it's like therapy
exactly
for you. But what you're doing is you're also giving like advice and therapy to everybody else too. Yeah. And whether you're in this industry or not, it's like very relatable topics. Like when people tell you you can't do something and you do it in like a minute and a half.
Yes.
But that's all it takes. You're like a little
a little mini
inspiration.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm just like, guys, you got to lift your, we got to do this together. You know, when I watch someone like being inspiring, I'm like, thank you. Like I really needed that.
We all need it.
Exactly. And then
but
when
we
you
need it when it's real ass, not exactly. when it's bullshit. Like,
totally.
Guys, I want to inspire you with my perfect life.
Yeah.
And I weigh 95 pounds and eat 4 bagels a day.
Yeah. And there's
get the fuck out of my face.
Exactly.
Liar.
Exactly.
But that's not what you do. You keep it real. Okay. So, of course, I'm following you on Instagram too. I see that you have been a lot too on Wendy Williams. How's our girl Wendy doing?
She's good. Listen, I saw her, you know, after the divorce.
Uh-huh.
And we were all like, Wendy, you look really amazing. Her energy was like super great. And she has always been super nice to me. And so I'm just like, all the love to her. I hope she, you know, kicks ass and like just starts living her best life.
What's it like? What, like the first time you were on Wendy, was it scary?
Oh my God.
So scary.
I literally thought I was going to faint. Because what I was doing with her was this thing called Inside Scoop, where I basically like report news on like, you know, the scoop of like celebrity stories, whatever, right? There is so much that it is in my head that I had to memorize.
And no teleprompter.
Right. And sure, you have note cards, but you don't look at your note cards.
No.
You just hold it for the, you know, the design.
Just in case you have a mental breakdown.
Exactly. And then not
and then you start eating your note
exactly.
cards.
Exactly. And it's not like you're just saying it to the camera. You're saying this to Wendy Williams.
Wendy Williams.
And she will say and talk whenever she wants because it is her show, you know?
Yeah, of course.
I'm just there to, you know, be that supporting factor. So like you're being thrown so many things and then, oh yeah, it's live and then there's a studio audience.
What's the scariest part of all those things? Wendy, the memorization.
It's completely the memorization.
The memorization.
Yeah. It's completely just like me just being like, I don't remember. That's my biggest fear, is to be like, everything's gone. Everything is just gone. And so
it's kind of like a play meets live conversation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because you have lines.
Exactly.
But you actually but you're conversing
yes.
with Wendy. So if she throws you a question that you're not prepared for,
yes.
do you have to use one of your lines or can you go rogue?
Exactly. And the producers tell you, listen, if she might take something from like the fourth story and bring it up to the first story and it would throw you entire, it's crazy. You know what I'm saying?
But after a while, did you start getting used to it?
No, as soon as I sat down in that chair and they were like, okay, five, like 4, 3, 2, 1.
Blarf. Yep.
I was like, oh, I'm good. I just felt at ease. It was weird. As soon as I sat in that chair, I was like, oh, it's fine.
And then, I mean, you just kept getting asked to go back on, back on. You're like, you're like a fixture on that show. You go back all the time.
Yeah, they've been super nice to me and it's literally the best, most well-oiled machine I've ever worked with. From the moment I wake up, I'm taken care of, to the moment I'm done with the show. It's crazy.
It's not the best to work. You can either work with amazing people in this industry or the fucking worst. There's no in between.
Exactly.
No in between.
Exactly.
Okay, so now in addition to all these amazing things that you've done and you are doing.
Yes.
Now, girl, you've been popping up a lot on E! What show have you been on?
So, E's been so great and so gracious. And so I do the morning show, what's it called? Daily Pop.
So I saw you in Daily Pop. But didn't you also, why were you with Morgan Stewart? I'm obsessed with Morgan Stewart.
Yes, she does the Daily Pop sometimes in the morning.
Dead.
She's amazing.
I love her.
She literally, I told her, I'm like, girl, you're just like effortless.
She is.
She just says whatever she wants and it's so funny and so good.
She reminds me of Joan Rivers.
I think, you know, E recognizes that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think they recognize that she has a show called Necessary Realness, and it's hilarious.
Really?
Yes. And it's on YouTube. It's on YouTube, and it's so funny.
Oh, shit. I got to check it out.
Yeah. She's great.
So how did you get into the E! Stuff?
you know, I would take, you know, meetings with them over the years. And there's a really awesome, amazing woman over there who I've taken meetings with over the years. And literally, you know, when the time was right, she like hit me up. She's like, hey, come do this. And then they've been bringing me back ever since.
So what's your number one biggest piece of advice for anybody listening who wants to get into this business? Perseverance? Just like you just don't stop?
Yes. Also, like you have to be realistic. You have to be realistic.
Yep.
You have to understand that if you don't have money in the bank, you have to make a living while also trying to make like your art or your dreams come true or like whatever. Mm-hmm. You have to be realistic with yourself. This thing is a marathon, right? It's just like a long run, you know?
Yes, it is, girl.
You know? And you don't know when you're going to stop running. Mm-hmm. And listen, everyone says to me, you get a point to your life where you look around you and a lot of people have been like, oh, I'm letting go. I'm letting go of this. Like, it's been too much. It's the people that hang on forever, you know?
That eventually.
You know, eventually. And you have to work hard. You have to want it. And so, mm-hmm. like, you know, in acting and hosting, like, I really want to make a name for myself. And there's so many things that I want to prove to myself. You know, I just think about, like, I was just, like, this little girl, like, just watching TV and films and just being like, I want to do that one day. And when I think about her, literally, it just like, I don't know. It makes me emotional because you think that nothing is possible. And then you grow up and you're like, no, 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 no. You can do these things. There's just a lot of factors that you need to accomplish and get through, but you can do this. And so I think for me, that's what I just want to achieve. I don't know. Yeah.
So you're moving out to LA.
There's an opportunity out there, you know, that potentially could become something, you know, and also I just think it's time. I feel like, yes, the industry is there. There's a lot of things here in New York, but the industry is there.
I know.
You know, and I think that my dog will be happier. I think my man will be happier. And I need to go.
Girl, I'm so excited. I cannot wait to see what this next chapter has in store for you. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
And also, guys, Ellie has a podcast as well.
Yes, it's called When I Grow Up.
When I Grow Up. Yes. And I'm going to be a guest on it next week.
Yes.
So what are we going to be talking about?
You.
Yes, my favorite subject. And if you want more of me, you can just subscribe to my radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show. Just go to taylorstrecker.com.
Yes.
Aw, but I'm losing you for coming on my show. Not that you've been on it recently, because you've been traveling so much. And I'm so not surprised you're moving to LA, girl. That, I mean, I could just see it. Like, watching you on the gram, I just was like, it's happening. It's happening. And no. I'm so excited for you. And E is such a cool fucking network.
You're a cool network.
Thank you, queen. I will also receive that. Ellie, it's okay. I'll still see you.
You will. I'll be back in New York so much.
And I'll be in LA.
Yes. And my family's here. Like, trust me, I'll be back.
Let's be bi-coastal. Yes. Together.
We're bi-coastal. Okay. I want to be at that level. You
me
know
too. That's a dream. I was going to say, what's your dream? My dream is to be all, not just I'm bi-coastal, but I'm bi-coastal.
Exactly.
That's my dream. What's exactly. your dream? In a phrase.
Oh, the whole dream? I just want to look someone in the eye and I just want to say this. I'm bi-coastal. That's what I want to do. Okay. So, like, they understand, oh, you're major. Okay? That's all.
Ellie, thank you so much for joining me. You are just delicious beyond. You guys, make sure to check out Ellie's podcast again.
When I Grow Up.
When I Grow Up. And also follow Ellie on Instagram at ellielee.tv. Anywhere else that they need to follow you?
No, just follow me there.
You like that?
Yeah.
Girl, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to miss you.
I'm going to miss you too.
But this isn't goodbye. Nope. This is just farewell for now.
Yes.
You guys, we'll be back next week with another amazing podcast. I am heading out to LA, so we're going to get some good LA podcasts in. I'm very excited about that. And yeah, that's it for us this week. Make sure to share this show. Please like it, subscribe to it, make your friends, make your moms fill their phones, do it for them. And rating really helps too. So yeah, do all of the above, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. We'll be back next week with more to come. Bye.
Did you enjoy this taste of me? Want more? Then go to taylorstrecker.com and sign up for my daily talk radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show, and listen live or on demand.